But if you have your Bibles, praise God. Open up to Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. We are living in perilous times. Whether we like to believe that or not, we are. Perilous times means hazardous times. Times of danger, times of turmoil, times of stress, times of fear. Especially for the younger generation now, it would be my third generation, wouldn't it, Sue? Dad, Mom. Yeah, I'd be the third generation from my time, from what I was familiar with. Anything beyond that's ancestry.com. But and I've seen so many changes being in the ministry, not only in my life, but in people's life and society. And I don't know if you've noticed it now, even our own government structure, they don't know how to work together. They're more divided than ever. And then the nation's divided. So we are living in those times of extreme stress. And a lot of us, the good news that I'm going to share with you today is, in spite of the difficult times that we're living in and times of stress, people, we're still citizens of the Most High God. And we can still live in a place in this world in turmoil. We can live in it in peace, but peace has to be what we desire to have. And there are a lot of people that don't desire for peace. They don't really have that desire. They think that they're serving their God by taking lives, deaths, and they're living a fantasy of what's beyond this natural realm. That is demonic beyond belief. And so I'm saying all that to say this is, when I was at Rhema and I was listening to all the ministers, it made you not want to miss a session because each session was so good and so rich and so full. But I began to ask the Lord, being there, what is it that you want me to get? Because I'm taking time and money to come here and be here with Rhema. And I know that you're going to speak something that's fantastic just to me. I'm going to get something out of this. And so from the very first speaker on in the sessions that I was there, and my son Tim was with me, we stayed together and it just seemed like one minister after the other. And one thing that I did notice is the increase in the knowledge of the Word of God. And that was incredible. And they have some seasoned ministers there that you're learning from. And so I inhaled everything that they had and I took notes. I got a boatload of notes and they covered so many areas, so many spectrums of a person's natural life, whether it's spiritual or natural. There was just so much great input. And I so appreciate Rhema for that. Because before I went to Rhema, I was a faith man, word of faith, you know, Wolf Church type guy. And I didn't realize that the spectrum of my knowledge of the Word of God was so limited. I didn't see how God's Word covers every spectrum of a person's life fully. And so I think that's why I liked Rhema so much and how it's inputted so much into my life. Because it never just carried the message of faith only, but it carried the message for every part of our life that's so important to us. And I had the privilege of sitting under seasoned ministers to receive that kind of information. And that's why I appreciate Rhema so much. And at the hotel, when I was laying my head down one night, I felt like I was always in this bubble. And then all of a sudden, God began to speak to me. Now, what I mean by speaking to me is he began to, it's kind of like it's there. It's like a download, what some people say, a downloading. And it's something that you see clearly and you've never seen it before. And he spoke these words to me that just captured my heart. And he says, because I was talking about Raymond, letting the Lord know how thankful I was for so many wonderful ministers speaking into our life and how they're, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Tim? How they're so unique in their own way of delivering the word. You know, like Reverend Du Bois, you know, he did a wonderful job. I was just overwhelmed at his information. And I said, Lord, you know, speak to me. Where are we as a church today? I don't see any Billy Grahams rising up. He's gone out. I don't see any men. And God said something to me so uniquely that I couldn't hardly wait what was to follow. And so what I did is, when he spoke this to me before I fell off to sleep, before the light was turned off. Whoever turns them lights off when you go to bed? Well, anyway. He says, I've guided you in a way to give you an understanding that you are to live, my people are to live a prioritized life. Amen. And that kind of caught me off guard. And I said, prioritize. I didn't even know what the word prioritize meant at first. And then I decided the next day, I'm going to look up that word prioritize. What does that mean? We are to live a prioritized life. And I want you to notice in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says something very interesting. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And this scripture kept coming to me about training up a child, but God spoke these words to me, we are to live a prioritized life. Now, how many of you have children? How many of you have had children? Do you know that a lot of times your children are a reflection of what you put into your children? Did you know that? And there are some things you didn't train into your children you don't approve of? Amen? There are some things your children picked up that you didn't approve of. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is very clear that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. For profitable, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. You know, actually for growing up. And when God spoke this, you are to live a prioritized life. When I looked the meaning up of priority or prioritized, I was shocked at what I was reading. And the Lord kept telling me to take a look at this word, train up a child in a way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And this word train up means to place down in a personal dedication to someone. To place down a personal dedication to somebody. And he said, my people should know that when I ask you to train up a child, I'm talking about you dedicating yourself to those children to produce something in their life that they need. And I said, well, I understand that, but what has that got to do with a prioritized life? And so he spoke five things to me when I was in the meeting waiting for Lynette to come out to do her service. And five things he literally spoke to me or downloaded on me. When I say spoke, I don't mean I heard an audible voice. It was just there. I knew it. And the first thing that he said is, he says, I'm going to give you five things of what I want you to know that will prioritize your life as a believer. Now, there is not one person in this congregation that when you were called into the kingdom of heaven, not one of you was absent from ministry. You might not hold the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but you have a ministry, maybe in the area of helps, maybe in the area of deaconing, whatever it is that God called. Some people, he didn't call you into the, to an active member in the body as a whole, but he has in, as a whole in your finances. Some people are called to give finances into the kingdom of God. But everyone has a calling. God does not call somebody into his kingdom, then leave you in a holding pattern. The modern day church has taught us that, and that's not true. God has called everyone to be active in the kingdom of God. I don't care who you are. But God told me, he says, once you gave your heart and life to me, he says, right away, I want you to be a witness, not doing witnessing, but be a witness. And he says the first place that you need to be a witness to your Lord is to your children as to your spirituality. And then we're seeing more and more that children are breaking away from the parents, going through hell as prodigal sons, then coming back into the church, and then they place themselves in a particular church or denomination where the word is not being taught, and their lives are not in the fullness of what it should be, because there's a place in leadership that you can be rebellious to God and have an influence on children. But really what God said is your strength as parents, your strength is your commitment not only to your family and their life, but your commitment to God and their life in Him. And he says, if they're not where you are spiritually, it's because what witness did you give them to where you are spiritually? You know, if you want your children to be spiritual like you, and you consider yourself spiritual, they need to be where you are spiritually. Hello? The first thing he said, number one, he gave me the high five sign. The number one is to get yourself under control. The Bible tells you how to do that. And out of the way. When you talk about priority or prioritizing something, this is what that word means. It means to place in an order of priority. The word priority means the quality or state of coming first in time. The first in importance. The right or privilege of precedent over other things. And so I never really picked that up, that meaning in Colossians 1:18, where it says he needs to have the preeminence, the first place in our life. And he wasn't referring to just spiritual things. He was referring to natural things as well. Because you and I have children that live in the natural as well as supposedly living in the spiritual realm. Amen? And the Lord said, the reason I led you to Rhema is because Rhema can take collectively all these things that they teach you and they prioritize your life. You bring them together in an understanding of what should come first place. Now, it's a natural way of thinking that when your children, as you're training and growing them up, the natural thing to do for parents is that they get the right information, they get the right input, and they get the right correction. Not only in natural things, but also spiritual things. Me and Sue made a commitment over Lindsay when we inherited her as our daughter. And the first thing that we said is we're going to see to it that her spiritual life is prioritized as well as her natural. And she blessed us in the natural. She put a demand on us in the natural where we were missing it, but we put a demand on her in the spiritual realm, where, and she always came back to me, no matter what. We kept her in Christian school. We believed God for the income because we wanted her to be raised in that kind of environment. It's not the environment, of the natural, world, because of their teaching now. They're putting input into our children that we're seeing the results of that input. Broad is the way that you go. But that's not how you train a child up. And she'd always come to me and she'd always ask me about doctrine. And I always committed to her and I always told her, this is what it's saying. And I didn't sit down and do a big theology teaching to her. I just answered the questions that she had, just like my son Tim. And now Tim and Rebecca were half grown by the time I entered in back into the fellowship of the Lord. And so I didn't have the privilege of starting off on the right foot with them that I did with Lindsay. But praise God, I love the way Tim's turned out. He's a blessing to me, my own son. He loves the Lord and he's moving forward and he has the ability to discern truth. Praise, thank God for that. Hallelujah. I think he struggles of putting his life into that truth, but we all do that. Amen. And Lindsay, when you give her the right information and she has somebody that comes against her theology wise, watch out. You better know your Bible. She was in that one class they taught that predestined to whatever happens, it happens. And I guess there was a situation in her school where one of the teachers went off and was messing around with somebody else. And he'd always pushed this predestined doctrine on her. And she never agreed with him. She'd always argued with him. And then finally she went back to him after he was caught in that adulterous situation. She says, was that predestined too? So the guy left her alone after that. But it says here that we are to train up a child by placing him in a position of personal dedication on our part. We are to personally be dedicated to training up our children in the way that he should go. And this is a very interesting word, this word train up. It means to instruct by leading an example as well. And notice this. And when he is old, actually in the Hebrew it says, and as he grows into old age, growing up into to my age, John's age, it says, he will not depart from it. And this word, depart, is a very interesting word. Actually in the Hebrew it says, he will never turn away. And I'm seeing in believers' lives today, just in our church, people are coming back from a backslidden stage. And that hurts me because it's not their problem of being in that state. It's the input that they had gotten and not the proper training, so they wouldn't end up in that place. And so your heart always goes back to those who are coming back into the fullness of God and how important that is. That's why we always welcome them openly. Oh, you're coming back into the fellowship with the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But evidently they weren't instructed properly. They weren't trained properly. They didn't have the word. A lot of them said, I just wasn't getting the word, but I'm getting the word now and it's helping me. Well, yeah, it's good to eat the word of God because that's what give you the nourishment you need. Praise God. And so here it says, and he will not depart from it. It literally means to withdraw, to take off, to decline, leave undone. It means many parts of his life would not be left undone. And literally, this word literally means to be without a command. Literally, to be without a command. You know, just like a natural army, you know, if that army is going to fall apart in a war situation, it's because somebody's not following orders. You got to have a commander in charge and knows how to deal with the war zone, the situation, the landmines that we find in Earth. We've got to have somebody to show us how to watch out for these landmines. And so, this is when the Lord spoke this to me. You need to get yourself under control and out of the way. Second, to get our enemy under control in our life. You know, I hate the way some of these songs are on. I heard one this morning coming to church, and it was, it slipped my mind. I wanted you to tell me about that song, but it said, "Oh, the blessings of the Lord is rich," or something like that, and it says, "For He kills and takes away." And what song is that? It's horrible. I rebuke that song. They don't know who their enemy is. When you start singing that kind of song, that isn't from the Spirit of God. That's out of somebody's emotional head knowledge or whatever it is. But you're sitting there and you're hearing that. How can you say, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and then turn around and says, for he kills and takes away? Well, there's a truth to that to a point, but that should be explained out. But to put it in a song, you know, music will get into you. How many of you find that you wake up some days and a song keeps going through you, whether it's a Christian song or a worldly song? You're sitting there and go through and you catch yourself and say, why am I singing that stupid thing? You know, because music has a power to it. And so, the third thing that he said to get for priority is to perfect our fellowship with each other. This is where the body of Christ comes in together. This is where the book of 1 John, if you don't understand the book of 1 John, you cannot have good fellowship. Because you have to understand why that, where that, the little book's coming from and where it goes in its destiny. And so you have to perfect your fellowship. And the fourth thing is to develop, grow up for your calling, for what God has called you to do. And then the fifth thing is to be mature enough to enter ministry. And the Lord said, Jan, you have no idea how much grace was on you when you started the church. And I says, I do now. And he said, well, the only reason that I permitted you to continue in your ministry in this church is because I asked you to do it because I knew your heart would change as you grew in me. I knew you would get here a little and there a little and you'd put it together and you would do things the right way. And so thank God that I had listened to my Lord. And he could correct me. I'm telling you, he did some things to me here a year ago that really knocked me on my rear end. But you know what? When I was being chastened, the Lord said, now remember, those who I chasten, I love. And I said, right now, in the midst of your chastening me, I need a lot of your love. So I said, well, that's great. That's powerful to begin to realize how you've cause these people to speak into my life and give me understanding that I would not have found just on my own, but a way of being trained in the things that are necessary. And the Lord said, have you noticed that a lot of these seasoned ministers, they not only have themselves in control, they have their family in control, and they have their life in control. And that's what God really wants us to have, is to have maturity about us and control over our life. And maturity when it comes to even our arch enemy, Satan, and how to deal with him. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get a hold of yourself, you can forget about the devil and how you're going to deal with him. Because he uses you in your ignorance. And until you get unignorant about yourself, he's going to use you if he can't find somebody else. There are some people that are called into our lives demonically. And why are they called into our life? Because we're stupid enough to receive them into our life. And then it does something to hinder our growth. In a way. Now, he broke this down to me. He says, what are the main points in these five things? To get yourself under control and out of the way, to get the enemy under control, to perfect your fellowship, to develop your calling, and to enter the ministry that I've called you to. He broke it down five ways. The way that's under control for our fellowship, for our calling, and for our ministry. This is powerful when you think about it. Wow, I never really thought being prioritized meant something. And how many of you know, as a natural mom and dad, how many of you know that when you have children, you want them to grow up properly? And did you notice that the nutcases we got going on planet Earth today are out of broken homes? They're mentally distraught. They're not thinking right. And one of the major issues that we're dealing with is mental illness. Except for the ones who are against guns, AR-15s or whatever. Saw a cartoon once, two thieves were sitting around the corner of a building and they were pointing over at this lynch mob and they were lynching a rifle. He says, aren't you glad they're hanging the gun instead of us? Yeah, but we want more laws because the ones we got, we can't handle. Did you know that? That guy that did that church shooting shot all them people. He was discharged from the military. And the military never gave any of the information to the federal government. He could go buy guns. Why, they had no information passed. And we want to make more laws. And they're not handling the ones they got. This last shooter, it's something like 23 times someone contacted him. This is a nutcase. He wants to do a school shooting. We want more laws. We want to get rid of the AR-15s so that we can go underground and sell them all to the bad guy. It's craziness because people are not being trained properly. They're not being grown up in the right manner. They're not being in solid homes anymore. The husband or the wife, they're off on Lolo land and the kids are left whatever, however they end up landing, you know. Bell probably knows more about that than me, but because she deals with that situation. But I'm going to tell you something, people. The Bible has an answer for this world's need, but the world don't know how to go to the Bible. We got to take them to the Bible by example. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I said, Lord, where would be a good place to start when it talks about training up a child? This word is very interesting. You know, the Hebrew culture, the Jewish nation, do you know that they were nutcases for word meanings? Even their children had names attached to them because of their personality. Joshua and Caleb. You know, Joshua meant savior and Caleb meant giant killer. They were two of the spies that went into the land. So if you got a name giant killer, it meant you had a good testimony with the nation of Israel because you weren't no fraidy cat. You know, look at these grapes. Wow, that's an abundant living just like God said we could have. But you ought to see the guys that eat them. Cowards. I'm going to tell you something. That's the church's problem. We try to live Christianity through our natural concept when our natural concept has nothing to do with what God's called you to be. It's Christ in you, working through you. It's not about you. The word train up means to narrow. To narrow something. And in the Hebrew it meant not to allow a broad path in life for destruction. That's what that Hebrew word means. To train up a child. It literally says you give him narrow options. His options are very narrow. Why? Because you narrow the path that he should go on. Oh, you know, God is more broad-minded than that. He is not. He's very narrow-minded. He says, narrow is the way. Amen. Hallelujah. Narrow is the way that you go. Praise God. Not broad. Because the Bible says, broad is the way to destruction. It means to discipline a person, to dedicate him. And I thought it meant to dedicate the child. It meant to dedicate the parents to train the child. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Colossians 1:18, turn over there. Boy, I've run out of time. Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. Well, I have another Sunday to preach this. Would you like me, guys, to keep going in the direction? We are to live. This is what God told me. We are to live a prioritized life. If your life is not prioritized, if God doesn't have the preeminence in it, then I guarantee you the ones that follow you will not have it neither. In Colossians 1:18, very powerful. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. To have first place in everything. to hold the highest dignity, to have the greater influence. That's what that word preeminence means. It literally means to be first. Are you ready for this? That he would be first in your influence from him. Oh, I know why our kids aren't where they ought to be. Because you had not made a priority in their life for the first influence over their life. Y'all love me, huh? You all love me? Now, this is what the Lord told me. Turn over to Isaiah 28. Are you guys, we're not going to get into this, but I'm going to say enough things to make you want to come back Sunday. We're talking about this prioritized life. God, you want us to live a prioritized life? And that's what the Lord was telling me, why the anointing is so heavy on Rhema. Because Rhema is not only a faith church, but Rhema is also a prioritized giver of life. They teach you right out of the principles of God's Word for what is needful for humanity. And that's why God is using them to influence the whole world. If you'd have seen that platform and all the nations that are touched by him and the dedication of those leaders and all the hell they've gone through. But they said Rhema put a solid foundation in them so that they could withstand any trial that comes against them in the cultures that they're called to. Good people to follow. Good people to follow. God's not interested in us following scaredy cats. Probably hadn't heard that one in a long time. But that word preeminence, it literally meant to be first in influence. So that is what our witness is about, to be first in influence. Why? Through the mortification of our natural being. We're not to live. Our priority is not to live out of our natural being as much as our spiritual being once we grow in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, with that thought in mind, Isaiah 28. And this is going to help a lot of us because we have been victims too long from too many bad witnesses in our life. We need to get under the influence of people that can speak good things into our life and be a good witness for us. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 28, when the Lord began to open this whole passage up to me, I was literally shocked at what I was seeing. I couldn't believe it. And the Lord said, this is why I spoke that to you about to living a prioritized life, because this will clarify it. So, verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge and whom will he make? Will he make? Will he make? Will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk. Those just drawn from the breast. I'd say that was pretty young. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Now these words were not placed there just at random. They're placed there on purpose. Now watch this. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little. There a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Whoa. Now, when I started looking up some of the meanings and the concept of this thing, I finally got an answer to why verse 7 and 8 were written before this. And notice this. but they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that no place is clean. Wow. Now, what we're going to do next Sunday is we're going to get into this, and we're going to put these verses together in such a way that you're going to understand why God spoke to me and said, we as believers are to live a prioritized life. And if you're not living a prioritized life, you're not thinking soberly as the kingdom of God wants us to think, and we cannot grow up to where we should grow up. And I got news for you. God showed me something else about water baptism in these verses. He said that believers have got to realize that when you get baptized in water and you go down and you come up, the first thing that we realize is that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have washed off us and all things have become new, but we don't realize that water baptism also is referring to a position that you place the Holy Spirit in once you come up out of the water and you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that means that when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got a language that can talk to God in a sensible way and not through a natural understanding to give us the ability to grow upright. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! You know what the Holy Ghost's job is to do for you? That when you're on the journey of this life that's very difficult, you need times and seasons where you sit down and take a rest. And in that rest, God will put something into you. He will prioritize something back into your life so that when you get up again and take your journey again to that next resting place, then God's got something more to put into you. He keeps putting into you and keeps putting into you until you grow up. We'll stop there. John Cook took up most of our time. Consider it an honor, John. Did you get something here a little bit? So what is all this referring to? Grow up, stupid. That's the best way I can do it. But I'm going to tell you something. When I start showing you the words and how they fit together in that, woo, you guys are going to be blessed. Well, you probably got unblessed on that one. But anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, right now as we dismiss these people and they have a safe trip home, Father, they're not going to be the victims of the enemy, but they're going to be the blessings of the Lord as they travel home. And everybody will travel home safe. The Word Connection groups will be powerful. And Father, we just thank you for your people, your wonderful people, and may the things I share with them help them and edify them and strengthen them for their future in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Get out of here, you guys.